Please. We'll be looking at this further this evening in our Bible study. But Ephesians 4, and I want to read from verse 25. You know, they say that the letter to the Ephesians was a circular letter. There's a lot of scholars who think it was a circular letter. It was delivered to many churches. And this was, if you like, a theology for the church, as we know it obviously is. But as it was written with that intent. So it's written with this sort of a rounded theology, basically, to give to Christians as their mandate for life. So in chapter 4, from verse 25, it says this: "Therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." The remarkable thing is, in Jesus, you see, you and I are very much connected. Now, the way that we live our lives, you know, we don't feel that. But the Christian walk isn't about feelings. It's not about what I feel. My feelings have got nothing to do with it. It's about a walk of faith. And faith in God's Word. And faith in God's Word tells me that we are members of one another. So if you own the name of Jesus, if you are a Christian, you and I are very, very much connected. Very much connected. Now, we may not feel as if we're connected, but that doesn't make any difference. You are my brother or my sister. Now, that's what the Bible's teaching us. So my feelings about whether we're connected or whether we've hit it off or whether so many people are feelings led. They're driven by their feelings. Feelings have got nothing to do with this. This is the truth. We are members of one another. He goes on, "Be angry and do not sin." Perfectly okay to be angry, you know, as a Christian. Got no problems with that at all. In fact, we ought to be angry. If there was a bit more anger in the church, perhaps there'd be a few more men in the church. But the problem is, we've gone around, you know, thinking that Christianity is all about how we behave, you know, on the outside, and how we appear to look on the outside, rather than the truth, which isn't feelings based. It's not what's on the outside. It's what's on the inside that counts. And on the inside, there's a thing called righteous anger, righteous indignation. But it goes on, obviously, to say, "And do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." Anyone felt wrath here? I have felt wrath in my life. I'd be honest with you. This goes on to talk about love. This is where we're getting to with this. We're getting to understand about love in a few verses. But before the love, I'm so happy that the scripture deals with the reality, because I have felt wrath. And I feel at times, Lord, how can I live with me as a man? And I feel such indignation at times. I say to the Lord, "Please, Lord, show me how to walk in your love." Because if I could walk in his love more, perhaps I'd feel less of the wrath and the indignation. I can identify with wrath and indignation very easily. I was reflecting on my life. And before I was a Christian, I was I was a different type of person, really, than I am, than the one that's before you today. Very different. But sadly, sometimes we can see the old man. And the old man, we can see glimpses of the old self, the flesh self. But if we see glimpses and we're not happy with it, that's a good thing. If we see glimpses and we're okay with it, that's not a good thing. Some people don't see any glimpses at all. That's a very bad thing. So seeing a glimpse of what perhaps you the weakness in your life is, okay, let's go to God with it. And let's find his antidote. And his antidote is here as we read on. You see, the truth is, my friends, we have to be honest with each other. We're part of the same body. There's no good having a facade, a front, pretending to be something that we're not. The religious church, if I use it like this, it's always done that, always pretending to be something that it isn't. And we've seen the results around the country in churches closing down. The world out there doesn't want that. It doesn't want to see. It wants to see vulnerability because it can identify with vulnerability. It can identify with people who are a bit vulnerable and there's some honesty and they know who they are. It can't identify with the deadpan facade of religion. There's nothing there for that. There's nothing to identify with. In verse 27, it says, "No, give place to the devil." In the context, obviously, of being angry. Because, you see, when we're angry with someone, just to go back to verse 26, it says, "Be angry and do not sin." Well, if you're like me and you can identify with anger and what I would call a righteous indignation, the danger is this, that you don't read the second half of the verse and do not let the sun go down on your wrath. You don't deal with it quickly. What you do is it stays there. And it stays and it ferments and it ferments and it ferments. And in the end, it turns into bitterness. And it turns into bitterness. And bitterness then is something that is a blockage to the Holy Spirit. Bitterness is a blockage to the work of the Holy Spirit. It's a blockage to the love of God. It's a blockage to everything good that God would have for us. So anger is a very dangerous thing. And this is why in the next verse it says, of course, "No, give place to the devil." The devil will try and get in through bitterness, anger, and if we've got unresolved issues in our life with people, then we need to deal with those things. Don't allow those things in. If you haven't dealt with them, please, we have to deal with them. You have to go to God and you have to say, "Lord, forgive me. Yes, what they did was wrong, but Lord, I can't take this. I'm not going to walk in this unforgiveness and this bitterness." You know, it leads to sickness. It leads to sickness. It causes sickness in people's bodies. So if there's someone who's done you wrong, someone who was very bad to you, who was unfair, they treated you terribly. They were so wrong. I agree. They were so wrong in what they did. But don't let them continue to affect your life. You've got to forgive. You've got to walk in love and forgiveness. And that's absolutely fundamental to the Christian walk. It goes on and it says this, verse 28, "Let him who stole steal no longer, but let him rather labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Yes, prosperity is a good thing. Even when it comes to money, the love of money is the root of all evil, not money. Prosperity is a good thing because we can give from that prosperity to other people. We can help people. The scriptures are clear. And then it goes on, verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. No corrupt word. But what is good for necessary edification? Do you notice this? Isn't this interesting? We're talking about wrath. We're talking about lying earlier. We're talking about being angry. We're talking about sin. And then it gets to the words that we speak. And it says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. So when you speak to someone, think about this. When you speak, your words are meant to impart grace to those who you speak to. Isn't that something? Grace. Well, what's grace? They've said it's unmerited favor. It's a wrong definition, really. It's a weak definition. It's too weak. Grace is more than unmerited favor. It's unmerited favor plus God's ability to do and be all that he has called us to do and be. That's what grace is. So if I speak to you, and if I speak encouraging words, uplifting words, how are you today? So nice to see you today. You look so lovely. Like that hairstyle today. Okay, that's just okay. But what I'm saying is, I just want to speak nice words and encouraging words to get people to think of Jesus and get them close to the Lord Jesus. In the church, this is what must happen. Building one another up. It says then, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You see, in context, it's saying that if we don't speak words like that, we're grieving the Holy Spirit. So, you know, my words can grieve the Holy Spirit. So I have to impart words that will cause people to grow. How are you today? Praise the Lord. Isn't he good? Well, I'm having a terrible day. I'm sorry to hear that. But God's good anyway, isn't he? He loves you. Get people to focus on the word. Get people to focus on the promises of God. Now, there's a way of doing that, of course. Some people do it, and it can be irritating the way they do it. Because they're not, you know, they're just... But if you do it with love, I think it comes across very well and very encouraging. You see, we have a propensity as human beings, the propensity is to focus on those things that aren't going right, on things that are difficult, on, you know, the problems that we have in life, all the difficulties. We have a propensity towards that. Now, in this building at this moment, that we are the people called Christians. So when we meet each other, and when we talk with each other, if we have a cup of tea together, let's encourage ourselves with the things of God. I mean, when we meet other people who don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, well, we're going to talk about other things. But when we meet together, very quickly, let our conversation be around the things of God. Let's be around the scriptures. Oh, I read a tremendous scripture this morning. Oh, the Lord said to me this week. Oh, God's been so good. Oh, this is happening in my life. Oh, it was so nice yesterday when we went out and we met this lady. We were standing at the door, you know, and this lady was, we just knocked the door and we said hello and we've come to give you this and gave her the leaflet, and she started talking about her leg. She had a bad leg. She just lives up this street here. And she started explaining about how her leg had been, she'd had a fall, and this leg was very much in pain, and there were difficulties, and she had been a midwife. And she was 76 years old, and she retired just 6 years ago. She'd been a nurse for 52 years. And she told us the whole, about her life and everything. And we went in, we said, we haven't got long, but we just sat in her living room there, and we had a little chance to pray with her for the healing of her leg. Beautiful. Minister healing to the leg. And Costa, we went to the Costa place just up here. Not the Costa place, the cafe, on the bank. The coffee shop, just on the corner there, the bank. Well, of course, we went in there and we had these leaflets and to hand out the leaflets. And there were three lovely young girls behind the counter. Well, I was so glad to have a lady with me. And a lady who was confident and bubbly and full of enthusiasm for Jesus. Because she spoke to them and she had a word of knowledge for one of them. And that word of knowledge really penetrated into this girl's heart, you could tell. When we came in, I think they thought, oh, it's the God Squad. But by the time that words of knowledge were given and a prayer, holding the girl's hands and praying right there in that bank coffee shop, what happened was they looked at each other and they said, ooh, makes you feel like going, doesn't it? Because there was life, there was reality there. We'd spoken some encouraging words about God. I mean, the darlings, they needed to hear this. People are desperate to hear the gospel. They may not know it. But what this is saying is, we ought to know that. This really should be very much in the forefront of our lives. Nothing in our lives compares to the gospel of Jesus. There is nothing close to the gospel of Jesus. The world doesn't have anything at all to match the fellowship that we have with Jesus Christ. I'm sure some of you have. I've traveled around the world. We've traveled around the world. We've done it in style as well. We've enjoyed the best of what the world has to offer. There's nothing there. Nice on a feelings level, sure, it can be nice. But nothing compared to the gospel of Jesus. Nothing compared to the songs that we've sung this morning of worship to him, of adoration to Jesus. Nothing in the world compares to that. Nothing. The world can't touch that. The sense of joy and unity with God, that love that we're having. I mean, it's beautiful what we have with Jesus. My dear brothers and sisters, if it's so good, we have to tell people. We have to share the gospel. And if the only thing we do is hand a tract out to someone or hand an invite, let that be the start. But let's share the gospel for the love of God. Let me read on here to verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And then verse 31, where this is beautiful. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Notice he uses the word wrath there. He said wrath at the start of what we said, and it seemed to be okay in the start. But he's very clear to list wrath at the end as one of those things that we must put away. And verse 32 is a verse to focus on as we close this morning. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Isn't that beautiful? Let me read that again. And be kind to one another. Just kindness. You know, people can keep their religion. If they don't have these basic things, they can keep their religion. No one's interested. Nice people in the world have got kindness. They really do. There's a lot of kindness in the world. A lot of very nice and kind people in the world. I've met them, lovely people. How much more so should we have kindness? And be kind to one another and tender-hearted. Do you know what that means? That means soft-hearted, tender. Not wanting to hurt someone's feelings. Being sensitive to someone else's feelings, someone else's needs. Forgiving one another. This is the way of the Christian. We forgive one another. Do you know, I'm amazed. Actually, even in the body, here, as I've done some counseling with people, some people just don't forgive. They get so used to not forgiving, they just will not forgive. They're walking in their life, they've got used to not forgiving, and they're walking in unforgiveness in their lives. They just think that that's okay. But it's not okay. In the Lord's Prayer, it's forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. It's as basic as you can get. But you can't do it if you're walking in the flesh. But you can do it if you walk in the Holy Spirit. And you see, this is why we have to walk in the Holy Spirit. Let me share something with you. The scripture says this, that we are temples of the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus said something about the temple. Jesus says, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. That's what Jesus says. He says, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Well, where is his house? We are the temples of God. We are the temples of God now. And so when we are in prayer, when we live our lives surrendered to him in this prayer, you see, what happens when Jesus said that, he said it after driving out those people from the temple who were liars and cheats and thieves. So you see, if our lives, if our temples aren't filled with prayer, they'll be filled with lies, cheats, and thieves. The thief will have his way. The enemy will have his way. But when our temple is filled with prayer, the enemy doesn't have his way. And it can be so simple, but just going throughout the day and saying, Father God, thank you. Have your way with me, Lord. Have your way with me. Have your way in my life. Lord, I don't want to be hard-hearted. Lord, I don't want to be hard-hearted. I don't want to be filled with wrath. I don't want to be that type of person. Lord, I want to follow Jesus. I want to have love and forgiveness, kindness, tender-heartedness. I want to forgive. Lord, I choose to forgive. And forgiveness, my friends, is a choice. It's not a matter of feelings. It's an act of the will. I'm closing. I remember there was a man in Wales who had, we had bought a property, and this builder had basically ripped us off for a lot of money. And I was really angry. I was so angry. Oh, no, I mean, I was really angry. I was angrier than that. I was really angry. And I had all sorts of evil thinking going on in my mind. And in the end, I fell on my knees and I said, Father God, help me. Please help me. I can't do this. Please help me. What can I help me? And I was led to walk by my faith rather than my feelings. This is what I did. I made a decision. Because the Bible says that I must forgive, and you know, it doesn't say we should forgive those who are just nice to us. It says that we should forgive those people who are wrong to us. It's easy if the, you know, if the people are nice, but it's all people. And so I said, Father, I can't do this in my flesh. I just can't do it. So I have to do it by faith. And I said, I will do this forgiveness in faith despite my feelings. So every time I would drive past their office, my feelings would rise up on the inside and I would feel really frustrated. But I chose to use that as the impetus to cause me to forgive. And so I spoke out of my mouth, Father, I forgive him. I ask you to bless him. I ask you to bless his business. I ask you to bless his family. Father, I pray that he comes to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Bless that man, I pray, in your wonderful name. Thank you, Father, for all that you've done for me. And that would probably take me into a chorus or something. You follow? And that was a choice of my will rather than being eaten up by this anger. Well, I want to tell you, friends, after about 6 months, it did take about 6 months, but after about 6 months, I actually felt my feelings had caught up. I actually felt the forgiveness for him. And I really felt the forgiveness. And I really wanted the best for him. Is totally miraculous. Miraculous. In the sense that, you know, that was something that was demonstrated to me that I didn't think was possible. My feelings caught up. And I knew that I had changed. I had changed on the inside. But I had changed by an act of faith, not following my emotions. And that faith was based on the word. And I'm telling you now, if you're following Jesus and you're not studying the scripture, there's something very wrong. We need to be studying this word. We need to be studying the word, yielding ourselves to the word of God, and giving this first place in our lives. This is his word, and we must adhere to his word. Well, let's stand then as we close this morning. We're going to let's close with singing In Christ Alone.